From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Golhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The nation's highest court on Monday handed yet another win to the Republican Party when it decided not to weigh in on the issue of gerrymandering. Gerrymandering is the politicized drawing of district maps that favor one party over another. The GOP has for years made it a priority to win elections by taking over state legislative bodies and redrawing maps in its favor. But in recent months, lower courts had finally started to rebuke the party's openly unfair practices. But on Monday, the Supreme Court declined to rule in two crucial gerrymandering cases in Wisconsin and Maryland, effectively leaving Republicans at an advantage. However, the ruling also apparently left the door open to future legal challenges. The issue of redistricting will be on this November's ballot in a number of states around the country, including in Colorado, Ohio, and Michigan. My guest is Ezra Rosenberg, co-director of the Voting Rights Project at the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. Welcome to the program, Ezra.
Thank you, Sonali, and it's a pleasure to be back with you.
So let's first try to understand which are these two cases. I mentioned Wisconsin and Maryland. We've seen a lot of high-profile news in the Pennsylvania case, where there was a state Supreme Court there that basically rebuked the Republicans. But what reached the Supreme Court was Wisconsin and Maryland. What was the case? What was at stake in those two states?
Sure. The Wisconsin case, Gill versus Whitford, had to do with the gerrymandering of legislative districts in the state of Wisconsin, which was a Republican gerrymander, as you mentioned. The Maryland case actually was a Democratic gerrymander, and that had to do with a single congressional district in Maryland. And you know, I guess one of the points is, while the Republicans have been in power in many of the states, so a lot of the gerrymander cases right now have to do with Republican gerrymandering, and that was a situation in Pennsylvania. It really has to do with who's in power. And the party in power very often has used its power to try to stay in power. Unfortunately, also, you have advanced technology that helps them do that in ways of being able to use computers to draw districts in a way that they couldn't do it before, so as to really pinpoint the populations that they want to keep in and the populations they want to keep out of specific districts.
Why do you think the court made this particular decision? And was there one place where certain justices fell compared to others?
The first issue was whether the court has the power to deal with this issue. In the past, the courts have gone in different directions, and there was no clear decision that said, yes, we have the power. This is not just a political decision that's left to the legislature, but we have the power to do that. And that was a major issue in both of these cases. And in both these cases, the court did not reach that issue. Instead, it threw the cases back to the trial courts on jurisdictional or procedural issues. And by that, I mean they did not reach the merits of the issue. In the Wisconsin case, they found that there was no plaintiff who had testified at trial that he or she was actually injured by this gerrymander. And in the Maryland case, they found that it was a review of a denial of a request for a preliminary injunction, which means to try to stop it midstream. And they found that there the Republicans had waited too long to bring their case and to ask for this relief, so they were not entitled to get it, but they didn't reach the merits there either. So it may be that they genuinely agreed that they did not reach the merits. Both liberal and more conservative justices agreed in both of those decisions. The Maryland case was unanimous, and so was most of the Wisconsin case. But it also could be that they've not been able to get a majority together who agree on the merits of the issue.
So the big part of the problem is that these are essentially right now state by state issues. We have a patchwork of methods to do this kind of redistricting, which is why parties, the Republican Party even more so than the Democratic Party, but both parties have been able to take charge of a process that should have some very basic guidelines, right? I mean, the Supreme Court seemed to be the place that could have the authority to have a, or to set one standard, because we can't rely on Congress, since Congress kind of has a conflict of interest on this.
Oh, absolutely. And this is the sort of case that courts can deal with. There's absolutely no doubt, you're 100% right. The fact of the matter is, partisan gerrymandering is inimical to our democracy. Elected officials should not choose their voters. The voters should choose the elected officials. And that's what partisan gerrymandering is all about. It's about elected officials trying to stay in power by continuously rejiggering the lines so that their districts are always favorable to them. And that's not the way this democracy works. And there's no reason why courts should not step in and deal with these issues on the merits.
For our TV audiences, you might have seen some of the maps we just put up where the images are quite unbelievable. The district lines are ridiculous. I mean, they basically look like spidery insects through neighborhoods. So what happens now to these two specific cases with Wisconsin and Maryland? If the Supreme Court decided not to decide effectively, what stands? Is it now up to the lower courts, or have lower courts already decided and those decisions are now essentially in stone?
Well, there are a couple of things that are going to happen right now, and most of them are good. The Wisconsin case and the Maryland case are going back to the trial courts. And in both those cases, the plaintiffs are going to be able to prove to the trial court again that, in the Wisconsin case again, that this is a partisan gerrymander. They have the plaintiffs in those cases who do have the right to bring the case. They just did not have them testify at trial because they were looking at it on a statewide basis, while the Supreme Court said it has to be looked at on a district basis. And they have the people who were injured in the specific districts who will be able to testify. In the Maryland case, now the plaintiffs are going back, and now they have a chance to prove their case on the merits. In addition, there's a third case, and people haven't spoken a lot about this, but there is a case called Rucho, R-U-C-H-O, versus Common Cause out of North Carolina, where the plaintiffs in that case won against a Republican gerrymander, that this was a partisan gerrymander and unconstitutional under both the First and 14th Amendments. That case is being considered right now by the Supreme Court as to whether the court's going to take that. And that case could very well be on the docket for next fall. So the Supreme Court may very well have another chance to deal with that case on the merits. And there should not be the sort of procedural obstacles that stopped the court from dealing with the Maryland and Wisconsin cases.
So essentially, this isn't the end of the line for the Supreme Court to weigh in on the issue of gerrymandering, because if this other case comes up in North Carolina, whatever the court decides, of course, will set a national precedent. Now, we have a ticking clock before the midterm elections. Is there any hope that any of the district lines could change before the midterm elections, or is that ship sailed?
I think that ship has sailed for Wisconsin and Maryland, unfortunately. In Pennsylvania, however, the ship has not sailed. And
right.
You mentioned the Pennsylvania case, and that's because that was decided by the state Supreme Court on state constitutional grounds, which meant that the Supreme Court did not have any right to review it on the merits and chose not to review it. So those lines have been changed for the midterm elections in Pennsylvania, and obviously that's very important.
Right. The state Supreme Court in Pennsylvania were extremely strong in their ruling and basically put the Republican majority in the state house there on notice and demanded that they come up with better maps, or the court would come up with its own map. So that's just one sort of state level case where there's been some progress made. Does that mean that if the Supreme Court doesn't step in before November, is there, you know, it doesn't seem like there's any other state where the state level Supreme Court could step in like Pennsylvania, is there?
I think it's going to be very difficult, but there are the cases around the country that could affect elections in 2019 and 2020.
Right.
We have a case down in Georgia where we sued because there were two districts in Georgia which were becoming a little too close for comfort for the Republican Party, for white Republicans in those districts. So they chose to redraw the districts by moving a couple of thousand African-American voters out of the district and a couple of thousand white voters into those districts, and were able to win the next election. We sued on the basis of both a partisan gerrymander and a racial gerrymander. The court threw out the partisan gerrymander case on the basis that the issue was not something that courts can deal with, but our racial gerrymander case is continuing there. And racial gerrymander cases are extremely important, and there are several of those that are pending around the country.
Now, I understand that there are several states on the ballot, seven states that will take up this issue on the ballot in November: Colorado, Ohio, Michigan, and I believe Missouri as well. What should we know about those ballot measures? I mean, obviously, those are then state-by-state decisions, right?
Absolutely. And there are I believe Ohio also is going over to a commission, hopefully a bipartisan commission or a nonpartisan commission.
Which is what California did, right?
California did, and I believe Arizona did, which draws the lines, hopefully, without there being a partisan influence in the sense that the party in power is trying to remain in power instead of letting the voters decide who should be in power.
So are these ballot measures the way to go then for citizens in states where the gerrymandering is ridiculous? I mean, even potentially for Wisconsin and Maryland, that the Supreme Court basically said, we're not going to take responsibility. Is this the future path for those people who want to see an end to partisan gerrymandering?
I think so. It's certainly easier if each state decides that it will do it the right way without having a court have to tell them the right way to do it, because litigation, as you've seen in the Wisconsin and the Maryland case, takes years and years and years, and we still don't know, sitting here today, because of what the Supreme Court did on Monday, whether the Supreme Court will ever find that these cases are the sort of cases that they will want to deal with, that
now,
they're justiciable.
Now, I mentioned that the Republican Party had a very, you know, overt plan to take over the drawing of district lines, et cetera, and had, you know, for years had this project in motion in a very open way. They have a separate organization to do so. Democrats, after President Obama ended his term, decided that redistricting issues were going to be a major focus of the party and party officials and party higher-ups like him. Do you know if the Democrats have taken any kind of a constructive position on this issue, or are they basically saying, if you can't beat them, join them?
No, I think that there is a group of attorneys headed by Eric Holder, the former attorney general, who recently filed racial gerrymander cases, or cases under Section 2, actually, of the Voting Rights Act, which are vote dilution cases in states, I think in Georgia and in Alabama, and I forget the third state. But they are actively looking at these cases and where there are problems. So I think that certainly Eric Holder's group is taking these cases, these issues very seriously.
I just want to emphasize what's at stake here, lest it sound like we're getting involved in some sort of obscure technical issue related to electoral politics. This is how the Washington Post explained the impact of partisan gerrymandering in Wisconsin. It said, whether Democrats found themselves packed into districts that overwhelmingly went blue or efficiently sprinkled throughout reliably red seats, the end result was the same. Wisconsin's politics lurched dramatically to the right. Voter ID bills and anti-labor laws that lacked voter support sailed easily through the legislature. Uncompetitive districts drew no competition at all. Nearly 50% of all state assembly seats went uncontested by a major party in 2016. Turnout plummeted as well. Between 2012 and 2016, Wisconsin suffered the second biggest decline in voter participation nationwide. And of course, we remember that huge fight over the anti-labor laws that Scott Walker had pushed a few years ago, which was very much part of this rightward trend that can be traced back to partisan gerrymandering. I feel like we really need to remind ourselves what's at stake when we talk about these issues, right, Ezra?
Oh, absolutely. And another way of looking at this, if you look at Wisconsin, I forget the exact percentages, but statewide, I believe it was fairly close, 50-50 almost, in terms of who voted Democrat and who voted Republican. But because of the gerrymander, it was well over 60%, close to 70% of Republican seats in the legislature as compared to what it should have been, which would have been much more close to an even split or perhaps even Democratic majority. And yes, and it really, again, it's not even a situation from whose party you're supporting, but rather you want the system to be fair. And the system is not fair when officials decide who elects them as opposed to the voters deciding who should be elected. Hmm.
Justice Elena Kagan apparently has, in her sort of writing about the issue, has suggested a couple of paths forward. She's been one of the reliably liberal justices, and she basically said that Wisconsin voters who brought the suit could provide evidence, which you mentioned earlier, that the districts were drawn in such a way as to intentionally dilute their vote. But then she also suggested that political parties and other organizations could bring a statewide challenge under the First Amendment. Can you explain this?
Sure. And I think that Justice Kagan, who is just a wonderful, wonderful justice and a great writer, was addressing her argument to Justice Kennedy, because Justice Kennedy right now is a swing vote on this issue. And in the past, he has indicated that perhaps there is a First Amendment basis for a claim on partisan gerrymander. And a First Amendment basis would be that the right of political association is being interfered with when the state decides who you're allowed to vote for in an unfair way. And that's what Justice Kagan was saying. And when it's done on a statewide basis, what she is positing is that you don't have to worry about having people from individual districts have the right to sue. Anyone in the state who is a member of the party, who is the political party that's being injured, would have the right to sue. So it would get rid of the standing issue, the right to sue issue, that Chief Justice Roberts wrote about in his majority opinion. So it is a way, it is a potential way around this. And I think she was really arguing to Justice Kennedy with the hope of persuading him when the next case comes up.
And perhaps even persuading some organizations and individuals and parties that could use that tack as a centerpiece of a newer suit. Well, Ezra, give out a website for your organization where people can find out more about the work you do.
Sure. And thank you for asking about that. It's www.lawyerscommittee.org. We also, by the way, are running every Tuesday that there's an election, our election hotline at 866-OUR-VOTE. And if anyone has any problems about whether they're registered, whether they're being allowed to vote, please call that hotline. Getting out the vote is what this is all about.
We'll post a link to lawyerscommittee.org from our website. Ezra, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks. It's great talking to you again.
Ezra Rosenberg is co-director of the Voting Rights Project at the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. We've been discussing the Supreme Court's decision to not decide in two cases of gerrymandering. And in fact, the Lawyers Committee had filed a friend of the court brief in those cases. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.